What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 53 of A Disciple of Christ, a season of commitment. Today's devotion is titled, Teach Me Your Way, O Lord. Psalm 32, verse 8 reads, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Our text today is from Psalm 86, verses 11 through 17. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor that those who hate me may see and be put to shame because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Since God is incomparable in power and does great things, David prays for God to instruct him. Since God is the greatest in every way, who better to learn from than him? David realizes this and begs God to teach him the way. The Hebrew word for teach is yara and has multiple meanings. Of the 76 times it appears in the Old Testament, 30 are translated as to teach. Oddly enough, 19 times it is translated as to shoot, as in an archer's shot. When Jesus teaches, he always shoots straight. When we follow God's instructions, we always hit the target that he has for our lives. David prays for God to teach him because he knows God's words are truth. So the psalmist is asking for God's help to live as a continual learner so that he can remain faithful in his commitment to him. The phrase, that I may walk in your truth from verse 11, reflects David's desire to live a life that lines up with God's divine revelation found in Scripture. This is a declaration of trust combined with a determination to remain steadfast in following the Lord. David continues this devotion by asking God to unite his heart so that he will fear his name. This word for unite implies that David is actually praying that God would give him an undivided heart so that he could concentrate entirely on his word and his will. Jamie Grant notes, it is a plea for a singularity of devotion on the psalmist's part. Perhaps implied in this prayer is just a hint that the poet's commitment to Yahweh had been affected by the difficulty of his daily circumstances. It seems likely that the temptation to put his trust in sources of strength other than his God would have been a strong one. But the psalmist was aware that if Yahweh is the only real God, as Yahweh's deeds indicate, then the supplicant's heart cannot be divided. Yahweh's singleness needs to be matched by an undivided commitment of the person. Therein lies the objective of the prayer in verse 11. David continues his commitment to God by declaring, "I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever." Again, Grant adds the following clarification. The declaration of praise with all my heart echoes the Shema's call to whole life, singular devotion to Yahweh. You can check out Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. Once again, the psalmist is making a confident declaration that his commitment to God remains unshaken even by torturously difficult circumstances, and that he will continue to live such a lifestyle if God hears and answers his prayer for an undivided heart. This petition seeks for Yahweh's influence not only in the worshiper's actions, but also in his inner attitudes. Give me an undivided heart, that is, a single heart to will one thing. As a result, he can promise, "I will praise you with all my heart." The psalm thus seeks a single heart to worship the one true God. In verse 13, David declares God's steadfast love that has delivered him. He reflects on God's mercy, grace, and faithfulness. Knowing God's attributes gives David confidence that God will not only hear his plea, but fully answer his prayers. Genuine prayer based on a passionate devotion to God has led him to experience God's help and comfort. To become a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to have the same devotion to God as David, no matter what circumstances we face. May we trust God to the extent that we daily ask, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." Some questions to consider. How dependent are you on God's consistent teaching in your journey towards discipleship? What lessons on commitment can you learn from David's words found in Psalm 86? And finally, how have you experienced the truth of David's description of God in verse 15? "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.